Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
In the state of Florida, and the state of Florida as a whole had just under $97 billion of economic generation for our military. Northwest Florida provided $22 billion worth of economic activity in 2022. Now, that is the largest contribution of all eight regions in the state.
Very interesting. A military forum that was put together in Santa Rosa County recently that had three congressmen, had the commanding officers or the XOs of all of our local bases, had all kinds of interesting information. It was designed to be a kind of a get people up to speed who might not be familiar with the various roles, functions, value, impact of the military installations. And, you know, what are some of the key problems that are facing our military here, because they're obviously such a massive part of our economy. This is Kay Rasmussen with the Florida Defense Network and our Florida Defense Task Force talking about the economic activity locally. Again, very interesting. You have, you know, across the state, $97 billion, but in Northwest Florida alone, nearly, well, more than a fifth of that in our region, out of all of these different regions, eight regions in 2022. And, you know, it's obviously gotten larger since then.
In addition, we have another benefit to our region as a result of our military, and that's defense contractors. So private sector businesses want to be around military installations so that they can do mission sets with them, contract to support their missions, and they create jobs. And they also help generate wealth within the community.
Yes, because, I mean, as we all know, you can make a pretty penny if you work in related industries to the defense industry. But look, if you've got lots of money coming into our economy in Northwest Florida from, you know, direct spending on military because the personnel get their paychecks and then they buy things at the grocery store or, you know, they buy entertainment or whatever. They rent houses or they, you know, rent apartments or they buy houses. They buy cars, all that kind of stuff. But you also have the indirect thing of if you're, you know, military adjacent, if you can somehow capitalize on that, which many do, that's really beneficial. And also the amount there, not quite the same as the $22 billion in direct spend, but the indirect spend.
So defense contractors in Northwest Florida in 2023, in the Congressional District 1, the value, monetary value from defense contracting in Florida District 1 in 2023 was $2.2
billion. $2.2 billion for people who work with the military somehow or other in Northwest Florida. So, that, again, that's our, you know, that's Eglin, that's Hurlburt, that's NES Whiting Field, that's, you know, NAS Pensacola, obviously, and Corey Station, which is a portion of NAS Pensacola or under the domain, you know, the command of NAS Pensacola. But I say this in a, like, but unfortunately, which is more a matter of opportunity, where do you think most of that money is spent?
And in Okaloosa County, the defense contracting provided 85% of that total $2.2 billion for congressional district run, and it was measured at over $1.9 billion.
So the vast majority of that defense contractor money is actually not spent. You know, you might think, because look, you know, we hear a lot about NES Pensacola, we hear a lot about Whiting Field, but Eglin and Hurlburt are, you know, and particularly Hurlburt is engaged in active military operations all the time. I mean, it's the home of the 1st Special Operations Wing. You know, it's the home of the Air Force Special Operations Command. And, you know, I mean, it's a major operational base. Not that NES Pensacola is not, but and not to offend Captain Chandra Newman, who actually said a comment. She's like, don't ever tell me that, you know, NES Pensacola is just a training base. Well, it's not just a training base, but it is primarily a training base. And that means that the force that comes to the Navy comes through NAS Pensacola. So actually, I'll play the clip by her in just a second. It's kind of a funny one. But, and you know, and Eglin has the test wing, obviously, 96th, and a lot of other function as well. But, I mean, Hurlbert is, you know, deployed. I mean, Hurlbert is putting bombs and bullets downrange every day in more than 20 countries. You might not think of it because if you don't drive by there at the right time of day, but, you know, they're putting the gunships out. They're putting the remote operated vehicles. They're not really drones, okay? You know, they're sending not as much Ospreys now, but still, you know, Ospreys depart from there. Anyway, so the only reason I wanted to bring this point up is because if there's $2.2 billion spent on adjacent, you know, defense contracting, and the vast majority of it is in Okaloosa County, attached to the innovation being done at Eglin and the testing of new weapons at Eglin and attached to the military operations at Hurlbert, it's an opportunity. And one of the long-standing ideas about NAS Pensacola in particular, because Whiting is, there might be opportunities there. And look, you've got the Leonardo, you know, facility coming in there. And certainly that would be an expansion that would qualify in this sort of military adjacent element. But the longstanding theory about NAS Pensacola is that more could be done near the base if the infrastructure were right. If you had, for example, sewer instead of having only, you know, septic systems. If you had, you know, better IT in the region. If you had, you know, just different, if you had better power. I mean, kind of all the infrastructure stuff. If it were better, and also, you know, what Mike Kohler has been working on is beautifying the, you know, front gate, which means that, you know, more businesses might be inclined to build in that area or might find it desirable. There's a whole host of things, but it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity, in my opinion, to develop more things at NAS Pensacola instead of getting really a tiny slice of that whole, you know, defense contractor spend, as you heard her say, about $300 million out of a $2.2 million total. I said I would play Shauna Newman's comments. This was actually not funny, haha, but just, you know, it was an interesting way to hear her say it, that, you know, we're not just a training base here.
When people say that Naval Air Station Pensacola and Corry Station is just a training base, that is a very quick way to boil my blood. We are not just a training base. We are 60% of the force generation for your United States Navy, for your United States Marine Corps. So anything that flies, maintains, operates, and puts kinetics downrange that is on a wing, and yes, I'm a helicopter pilot, those rotors are wings, it all starts at Naval Air Station Pensacola. Anything that senses or makes sense of the electromagnetic spectrum, the cyberspace and space-based assets and cryptology and everything else is at Naval Air Station Pensacola.
Yeah, and she's not, I mean, of course, she's exactly right. You know, I don't ever think of it as a disparagement to say a training base. And there are things beyond just training that go on NAS Pensacola, but it is largely a training facility, but there's nothing incompatible between that and recognizing that 60% of our force production comes from there, which is, of course, true, at one point or another. And all of your air, right, starts there. And I love, you know, of course, most people don't think about a helicopter as being a winged aircraft, but it is. It's just those wings work weird. You know, they're very, very different operationally than the fixed wing, right? But, you know, the production of pilots and maintainers and a whole host of other things, as we did in the Tenix Command, you know, last year, trying to explain how many different things actually come from there. In fact, it's a massive operation at NAS Pensacola.
Across the installation, this is kind of the installation by the numbers, and given that we have a short frame of time, I don't want to anchor too much down on it. But we are a national landmark. We have 199-year-old problems, and this base ain't one. But, yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. But it's 199-year-old infrastructure that is obviously hurricane-prone and everything that goes on. And no offense to the general and his 27 commands, I think it was. We have 126 in all the joint forces. Now, he has 130,000 miles of range. I only have 18,000. Square miles of range.
It's funny when a captain in the Navy is a little bit thrown shade at a one star from the Army, from the Air Force, the commanding officer at Eglin. But you know, they both have tremendous impact, right? And Eglin is not nearly as old as NES Pensacola. Yeah, coming up on the 200th anniversary of NES Pensacola in some facility or another, and still damaged from Sally. Remember, just, you know, if you ever wonder, what relationship hurricane damage has to our bases here locally, just look at the price tag. You know, $500 million in damage to NES Pensacola that is still, to this day, not been completely repaired. Obviously, massive amounts of repair still necessary to be done. But, you know, NES Pensacola is also not just, and I don't know how many times we have to tell you, but people don't know, and that's why we keep saying it, is not just the place where the Blue Angels are and where the museum is at and where pilots begin and where backseaters do a lot of their training. It's not just that. It is a massive operation with all kinds of elements, including, as she said, over the 100 tenant commands and every branch of the military.
But for everything that we do in at Naval Air Station Pensacola, your entire Joint Force plus Department of Homeland Security is represented with the Coast Guard and CISA, as well as everything in the U.S. Air Force's weapon systems operators and training, anything in aviation for the Navy, the Marine Corps, and the Coast Guard, anything in the information warfare domain and electromagnetic spectrum, which includes our Space Force and Army warriors and civil affairs for the Army as well. So it is a broad spectrum, including a Tier 1 mission that we actually have on Pensacola. And one of the best things that I like to say is that we are one of four installations in the entire continental United States with an airfield and a deep water port located, and the only one in the Gulf of America.
And I would say, frankly, both of those assets underutilized. Both the airfield, you know, is underutilized compared to, for example, how Whiting's is used. And the port is certainly underutilized, but that's something that we're, you know, trying to remedy a little bit.
Everything that comes out of boot camp and your acquisition or your accessions from the Academy and ROTCs and OCS all calls Naval Air Station Pensacola their first home outside of their accession source. We kill bad guys and we save good guys. That is our job and how we train your fleet.
Absolutely. And on that matter of the port and the Coast Guard mission, which, I will be honest, as many years as I have been tracking NES Pensacola, if you ask me on any given day, how many Coast Guard cutters we got? I don't know anymore. it was one for a long time, the Cypress, which sits center point at the, you know, NES Pensacola, at the Beach Air Show. That's the Black Hall, the buoy tender that, you know, cleans up, you know, and maintains the buoy system around the area. But then they added a whole bunch of cutters, you know, the interdiction cutters, those are the Whitehalls, and it was up to five at one point. I think two or three of those have now retired, so we're back down to like three or four, but it's going to go back up to six, I think.
I can reiterate this, but the other piece that is absolutely vitally important to know is because of that deep water port, Department of Homeland Security has U.S. Coast Guard cutters here. We have two cutters and a buoy tender. Funding was just elevated just a few weeks ago. And they're looking to bring our Bravo Pier back around to double our hulls to six Coast Guard cutters, which would actually get after some of our national interests when it comes to counter-narcotics and illegal immigration.
So she says we're at three now, which is two cutters and the buoy tender, and then we're going to go back up to six, which would be three additional over time. I don't know. I guess those would be the new ones, but that seems long off in the future, and the work on the port to improve its capability, I mean, I'm all for that. That would certainly seem to fall in line with the, you know, national directive on enhancing shipbuilding, ship maintaining, and ship. Yeah, you know, I mean, we have a deep water port. It's been neglected for a long time. At least portions of it have. Talking about partnership, one of the themes of this event, this whole forum, whatever you want to call it, was about partnership between the military and the civilian. And in Escambia County, and we've talked about this, you have this massive project of the Living Shoreline, including the White Island Renourishment on the east side, but massive project of, you know, protecting NAS Pensacola from water events, which have historically been a big issue.
I hope we get an opportunity to talk more about our partnership with Escambia County and the Living Shoreline for our flooding and a resiliency of our natural shore. And then again, you know, you get the side benefits of habitats and things of that nature, but how we create resiliency on the base. Part of that is that up until, this year breaking ground, but an effort that you championed is that Naval Air Station Pensacola has had one power line and one substation to the base for a single point critical failure for our mission for, 199 years.
Yeah, like before there was electricity. So there was no electricity, and then there was one line, and there's still one line, and there's still one line. And, you know, they've been working on enhancing that, and I don't think they're there yet. But And she was talking, you there was talking to Tim Kinsella, Lucky, the former CEO of the Bay. Well, two CEOs ago, you had Village in between. But he's, you know, obviously now the assistant city or the city administrator for Pensacola. Lucky is. Anyway, back to her comments about, again, that second power source.
Hurricane Sally has provided a lot of leverage, and a lot of that was to your work, too, to create a secondary power line and substation so we never lose criticality of our Tier 1 mission, let alone the forced generation for your fleet. And so this is something that is absolutely critical, but it might not be fresh paint on a building that somebody sees.
Yeah, you might not see the effect of developing a redundant power source for the base, but I mean, kind of an important thing, especially given the flood-prone and, you know, hurricane-prone vulnerability. So she kind of wrapped up with the repeat of the 60%, but it's a good bumper sticker.
So if there's anything that I just need a bumper sticker for Naval Air Station, Pensacola, Corry Station, and our outlying properties, is that we are 60% of your fleet's force generation. That is an operational mindset to get after why this is critical and why the relationships with the community and all the efforts that we need that are absolutely compatible with the city, the county, and our local area is vital to the successes of our service members and our families. So 60% of your force generation is here. We build warfighters, and that is absolutely a no-fail mission for the success of our nation.
And it's a reminder, because other parts of this conversation were, I thought, particularly interesting, talking about how if you really want to help the community, you help the military families. Because if you're helping the military families, as in if you're helping military kids, if you're helping with housing, if you're helping with mental health issues, if you're and treatment, if you're helping with childcare, and you're solving traffic problems, you are solving the community problems. And they are most acutely felt amongst the military families. So if you are solving the major problems that military families encounter, education, then you will be solving the problems of the community. And if you are solving the problems of the community, you will be making the bases safe from, for example, a base realignment and closure. But you're also going to be making your community strong. And so thinking of how strong families, strong housing and education, all the rest, translate into strong communities and also strong bases that produce, for example, 60% of our force structure in the Navy, you can see how it all ties together. And that was, I think, the point of this whole conference, is to get people to think more globally about the interconnection of some of these issues. 526 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
This is the story of the one. As a lineman, he does whatever it takes to keep the power on in his community. And he wants a partner like Grainger who does the same. Grainger offers the professional-grade products he needs, from voltage detectors to harnesses to hard hats, plus fast, dependable delivery. So he can rise to every challenge. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Still getting around to that fix on your car? You got this. On eBay, you'll find millions of parts guaranteed to fit. Doesn't matter if it's a major engine repair or your first time swapping your windshield wipers. eBay has that part you need, ready to click perfectly into place. For changes big and small, loud or quiet, find all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. But you already know that. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
My Lord Sheriff, is this your idea of control?
Shut up, you twit!
You know, I know Robin Hood is not usually thought of as a comic book character because he doesn't have his origins in comic books the way, you know, Batman, Superman, and X-Men, all the rest do. But if you think about the sort of nature of the Robin Hood movies over the years, it follows kind of that same arc of, you know, Batman as a comic slash caricature, you know, the TV show and then the original movie and then becoming eventually, you know, the Dark Knight, the very serious, somber, you know, whatever, anti-hero hero. But Robin Hood's kind of the same way. If you look at, like, The Adventures of Robin Hood and then Robin Hood and the TV show and then Men in Tights, and then it became the halfway there was Prince of Thieves, right, where you have serious but also, you know, the Alan Rickman character is kind of a caricature of a bad guy who makes jokes and is sinister but not super sinister. And then eventually you get into all of the more modern versions of it where they've kind of lost even the comedic element of it. I don't know, it's just the parallelism is interesting to me. David Wayne is in the newsroom, as far as we know, at this moment with a voice who can tell us the news headlines.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. seemed like Los Angeles calmed down a little bit last night. There's a curfew that's been in effect in Los Angeles, mass arrests, and were threatened to be made if people were out. The LAPD says several people and groups were still gathering. But it did seem a little bit calmer. Now, those protests, though, seem to have been spreading across the country last night. Thousands of people on the streets in New York, Chicago, Denver, and Washington, D.C. President Trump has weighed in. He says the military response in Los Angeles may be the first of many in the other cities could see equal or greater force.
Well, look, I mean, I don't know why the folks in L.A. should get to have all the fun. You know, we can have a protest riot party right here in Miami or, you know, right here in D.C. or New York or L.A., and, I mean, look, we're kids out looking for a good time. You think that doesn't play a part in this? It absolutely plays a part in this. We're going to go out and protest and party and drink and brag and social media.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Another night of protesting in Los Angeles, despite a curfew now in place, reports of downtown LA.
Some of the 700 Marines in Los Angeles are expected to be deployed today to protect ICE agents, with thousands of National Guard troops waiting in the wings. So the LAPD says dozens of protesters were arrested for refusing to follow the curfew put in place by Mayor Karen Bass.
That's Fox's Brooke Singman reporting this morning. A major league blast by Yankee slugger Aaron Judge.
2-0. Swing and a deep blast way out into left field. Judge can't stop, won't stop. Why would he? Two-run jack in the first.
That from the Yes Network, 469 feet. That number from StatCast, seven longest of his career, but it nearly cleared the Royals Hall of Fame building that juts out from the left field foul pole. Yanks win 10-2 over KC. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. It's 74 degrees right now. We've got partly cloudy skies here in Pensacola. Republican Nathan Boyles has won the Florida District 3 State House seat. He defeated Democrat Dondra Wise yesterday in the special election. Boyles received about 60% of the vote in Santa Rosa County and just over 70% in Okaloosa County. The District 3 seat was formerly held by Dr. Joel Rudman. He resigned to run for the District 1 House seat that was vacated by Matt Gaetz and is now held by Jimmy Patronis. Boyles previously served as an Okaloosa County Commissioner. An Okaloosa County teacher is accused of having sex with a student. The sheriff's office announcing yesterday that Timothy John Sexton had been arrested. The 58-year-old was a teacher at Crestview High School, used to teach at Pryor Middle School. Deputies say he started a relationship with a girl in 2001 when she was 14. The relationship reportedly continued until she was 17. The investigation started after the sheriff's office got a tip 3 months ago. Sexton is currently being held without bond. Sheriff Eric Gaydon says there's no expiration date to seek justice for victims. Senator Rick Scott and several of his colleagues have introduced the No Official Palestine Entry, or the NOPE Act. This legislation aims to restrict U.S. funding to the United Nations and other organizations that grant the Palestinian Authority or the Palestinian Liberation Organization any status or privileges beyond observer status. The NOPE Act would update current U.S. law, which already prohibits funding to entities that recognize the PLO as a full member state. The bill does have support from numerous Senate and House co-sponsors. Governor Ron DeSantis, Attorney General James Uthmeyer, and Agriculture Commissioner Wilton Simpson announced the protection of over 78,000 acres of land yesterday, primarily within the Ocala to Osceola Wildlife Corridor. The acquisition closes a gap in a 100-mile network connecting Ocala and Osceola National Forests. Since 2019, Florida's invested over $1.4 billion in land conservation, acquiring more than 374,000 acres. The governor's office says the new easements will safeguard ecosystems, improve water quality, and support agricultural lands across several counties. An investigation into a shooting at a local convenience store continues. Sheriff Chip Simmons tells News Radio more about this incident. It's the shooting that occurred on Highway 29 at the Valero station last Sunday.
We get a call that there was a shooting at the, I think Black Diamond is the name of the club up there. We actually find someone across the street at the gas station there. Individual claims to have been shot in the thigh.
Okay.
In the thigh bone. But investigation looks like it may well have been a self-inflicted injury, because we have there's no shell casings, there's no validity to what he's saying, there's no witnesses to it.
And Simmons said it looked like that shooting may have been self-inflicted, and if that's the case, the victim could be in trouble, as he's a convicted felon and shouldn't have had access to a firearm. Earlier this week, it was reported the victim's injuries included a broken femur, but the injuries were not considered to be life-threatening. 5:35, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
We will have a chance of rain as you go into your afternoon and evening today. 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 88 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 74. Keeping our rain chances around for Thursday with a 60% chance of rain, high near 89. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 77. On Friday, 50% chance of rain with a high near 88 and a low near 77 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. We've got 74 degrees right now in Pensacola, 73 in Gulf Breeze. And it is 71 in Milton. Our next news is at 6 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable. Now let's get a look at our market report from Your Money Now.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. U.S. and Chinese representatives say both countries have reached consensus on trade after high-level talks in London. The negotiators will now seek approval on the framework from the U.S. and Chinese presidents before implementing it. Apple has tried to regain its footing during an annual developers conference that focused mostly on incremental advances and cosmetic changes in its technology. Apple highlighted plans for more AI tools designed to simplify people's lives. It also provided an early glimpse at the biggest redesign of its iPhone software in a decade. The Union for Hollywood's Video Game Performers has reached a tentative contract with several video game companies that may bring an end to an almost year-long strike tied to the use of artificial intelligence. Members of SAG-AFTRA were worried that unchecked use of AI could provide game makers with a means to displace them by training an AI to replicate an actor's voice or to create a digital replica of their likeness without consent. Futures are slightly lower. That's Your Money Now.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Gun show this weekend in Pensacola. Hundreds of guns, knives, ammo, coins, and more. This is a buy-sell trade event. Private sales and sellers welcome. Brand new event located at the Haji Shrine Temple at 800 West 9 Mile Road, Saturday 9 to 4 and Sunday 10 to 3. Admission $10 per person. Kids under 14 are free. Free. Discounts for law enforcement, military, firefighters, and first responders. For more information, USAGunShowsFL.com.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see?
Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons, who has built an entire career developing credibility and capability and law enforcement skills and reputation. And then he meets me on the radio, and you never know.
You chip away at it, David. Yeah.
You never know what's going to happen.
Oh, I put myself through this sometimes.
And well, there's a reason for my comment. We'll talk about it later. The dread I know will build. Let's talk about there was a couple of serious things that happened last week, as often. The shooting at the Valero gas station across from IP on 29. Was it Sunday? Is that when this happened?
That was Saturday night.
Saturday night. Okay.
Well, that's it. We get a call that there was a shooting at the, I think Black Diamond is the name of the club up there. We actually find someone across the street at the gas station there. Individual claims to have been shot in the thigh.
Okay.
In the thigh bone. But investigation looks like it may well have been a self-inflicted injury because we have there's no shell casings. There's no validity to what he's saying. There's no witnesses to it. But we're looking at it, investigating it just in case. But based upon the evidence that we see right now, we're not so sure that he was shot by someone else.
Okay. I don't know this club, the Black Diamonds. Is a dance hall, bar, or something?
I think it's a bar.
Okay. So was he inside when it happened or on the premises, or we don't really know?
Yeah, well, no, the information we're getting from
very sketchy.
Sketchy at best.
Okay.
We found him across the street with a gunshot wound to the leg.
I got it.
And obviously called an ambulance and they took him to the hospital.
And, you know, it may be worth saying only because I'm emphatic about teaching people the gun laws, as you know. We've talked about this so many times. It is illegal to carry a gun into a bar.
It's also illegal to have a gun if you're a convicted felon.
Oh, there's that also.
So.
Yeah. And he is?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So double whammy.
Yeah. If in fact, he was in possession of a firearm.
Right, right. If it was self-inflicted.
If, in fact, it was
right.
an accidental discharge, he could be in big trouble.
Okay. All right. Cody Gaines, this was body cam video that you guys released of a chase. What happened here?
Well, we had a guy, Cody Gaines, was wanted for domestic violence, strangulation, domestic violence, false imprisonment, and depriving an individual of their communication. So I think he took someone's phone. And so we knew we had warrants, felony, rather serious felony warrants on him. So our warrant section had been looking for him for a while, and they had information he was inside a vehicle. Well, the vehicle was on Davis Highway around the interstate, and our deputies decided that they would try at that point to take him down, to arrest him.
Busy area.
It was.
Very.
But we had information that he kind of knew we were behind him, and we thought that he was going to run. Sure enough, as we get close to him, he gets out of the car and takes off from the car. He's not the driver of the car, mind you, but he gets out of the car, and then he runs over the small median, little concrete median, dodges one car but does not dodge the second car, gets clipped by that car, and loses
unrelated
his shoes.
Civilian car, not you guys.
People,
right?
Honest people doing their own driving around.
Yeah.
He gets hit by this car again, loses his shoes, but continues to run, jumps a fence into a retention pond, marshy, swampy type area. We obviously had a number of deputies in the area. We had some canines, did some searching, ultimately found him, with just his face above the water, ended up, fishing him out literally from the pond.
Okay. All right. And did you recover the shoes?
I don't know.
I'm still stuck on he got clipped by a car and knocked out of his shoes.
Yeah.
And so then after that runs into the marshy retention pond over the fence and gets fished out by the canines.
Yeah. The reason we put the video out is because, first, I'm proud of the actions of the deputies.
Absolutely.
Always catching these people. I think it's important to note that this guy had warrants on him, and our deputies, whether they're out and in uniform patrol, entering calls for service, whether in narcotics, taking down major drug houses, or our warrant section continuously looking for felons on the street, I think it's good for the citizens of Escambia County to know exactly what they're paying for.
Absolutely. I was talking with Michael Kimbrell, the director of the Washburn Center over there on Murphy Lane off of Highway 29 the other day on Friday. He was on for the rep, and he was talking about – I was asking him, has there been an improvement in the situation over there with the neighbors complaining after Beggs Lane got cleared out? A lot of the homeless folks moved up there. And he had said that you guys had positioned a nuisance van, not the undercover van. This is the big old, hey, this is a sheriff's van. There's cameras. We're watching for behavior. And he seemed to be of the opinion that, on the one hand, some of the residents liked that. I assume it was a response to a resident request.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
Okay. But he said that it sort of sends a signal of criminalizing all of the homeless. It doesn't seem to make much effect. He's watched people do drug deals right in front of the van. The nuisance van on Murphy Lane, again, from a citizen, but value, how long is it going to be there? What are you trying to accomplish? Maybe kind of explain.
Well, I mean, it's easy to complain about things. Mm-hmm. I will tell you that we got a number of complaints from people that live in that area, that in the businesses around that area, that there was criminal activity taking place, whether it's drug deals, destruction of property, just completely trashing the place.
Yeah.
These are the complaints that we get up practically a daily basis. And so there are times we have certain things that we do. We send our community services people out there. And oftentimes we have to see the event take place. Mm-hmm. These are misdemeanor crimes. But one of our enforcement efforts is to put these vans up. Sometimes we can put cameras up that are the large mobile cameras. In this case, we use the what we call the surveillance platform, which is a van that is not secretive at all. It's listed on there. We want people to know it's parked legally where anyone could be parked. And we just wanted people to understand that if you decide to commit a crime, we may be watching you in a public area, in a public roadway. Why you'd be concerned about that, unless you're a criminal, I really don't know.
Do you know yet if there's been any arrests, cases made, anything that you've gotten from the surveillance to be able to actually take enforcement action?
No, we haven't made any arrests based upon that van there. I think it's most of the trouble, quite honestly, is when the Washburn Center closes, which is ironic in itself, that it closes and then it forces people it causes people to hang out and congregate just outside the doors.
Right.
And then people complain that we get complaints on these individuals. I don't know, not sure what's going on there inside the center, but I'm assuming that they're trying.
Yeah, and look, we've talked about this before, but I'm very sympathetic to the neighbors' concerns that, I wouldn't want that to be on my street all the time. But at the same time, people milling about on a street is not in and of itself illegal. It's if other activity is going on or if they deface property or, just being there is not illegal. It's other things that might happen that become criminal acts, right?
Listen, we have more important things to do than concern ourselves with people camping on the sidewalk. So our hope is that they just stop. They seek the assistance that's available to them right here in Escambia County, whether it's at that center or anywhere else, and that they find a resolution, if they're looking for one.
I talked with Sheriff Bob Johnson yesterday about this, but I know you also know, or at least I assume you also know, former Osceola County Sheriff Marcos Lopez, who's been suspended by Governor DeSantis for being involved in a racketeering and gambling ring. Come as a big surprise, I assume?
It was a surprise, yeah. I mean, we weren't best friends. He was elected the same year I was elected, and so we went to what they call New Sheriff School, in Tallahassee. So, we knew each other. We weren't buds or anything. So it was a surprise. I guess the details itself was shocking, just how stupid you could be. We take this job very serious. You swear an oath, and I beyond me how you can do this. You can take that trust, and you basically destroy the credibility of your position, yourself, your family, for what good?
A few bucks, whatever.
Reading some of the details, pretty not well thought out type of a crime. A lot of money involved, and just some stupid moves.
And you wind up besmirching the reputation of not just all law enforcement, but all sheriffs across the state, because you tend to think, well, okay, if it's a domestic case, deputies are people too, okay?
Right.
But to be involved in a legitimate, illegitimate criminal exercise, activity, you think, what in the...
imagine the agency now. Time they go answer a call now, someone's going to look at them with that suspicious eye. Were you involved in this thing that your sheriff was involved in?
Right.
Even I think, how many more people were involved in this thing? That's a normal thing to question. And I think you should be, honestly, you're the sheriff. The people have voted you in.
Mm-hmm.
You owe it to them to set a good example.
And then, you got to deal with the snarky citizens. I mean, if you're a good cop, which most of them I'm sure are, you got to deal with snarky citizens who might wear shirts that say, I don't even play bingo, And I mean,
You make a difficult job even more difficult by the actions that you take. But I do have a little bit of a – so back in the 80s, I was a high school student at Pine Forest High School, and one of my friends
– and football star.
Perhaps. And so I decided to be a career in law enforcement here locally, and a friend of mine decided to join the Florida Highway Patrol.
Okay.
And so we're both in the same graduating class, and we're all talking to each other about which one's better and which one's worse. Fast forward 40-some-odd years, I'm the sheriff of Escambia County, and that friend of mine is now the interim sheriff of Osceola County.
Really?
Yeah, so Chris Blackman is now the interim sheriff in Osceola County. Obviously, the governor appointed him to take I won't even say his name anymore, but the former sheriff's name. So I think it's kind of a unique little story.
So unlike the former sheriff, you do know this one pretty good.
I do know this one, yeah. Well, he played baseball. He was on a baseball, pretty good baseball player, actually. And I played the football.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, obviously because we're watching these riots in L.A., protests in L.A., depending on what's going on, it's one or the other. And I'm just kind of curious from a law enforcement perspective. I've never quite had to deal with that recently. We did have some of the race issues back in the day, 40 years ago. But we haven't had to deal with anything quite like that here recently in Escambia County. George Floyd protests were very peaceful by comparison. Good law enforcement. But what are the rules when they throw flashbangs at cops or when they throw rocks at cops? Not lethal, but dangerous.
It's a crime. You cannot throw something, whether it hits them or not, it's assault or it's battery. It's aggravated assault. It could be a deadly missile. It could be anything like that. It could be as simple as resisting an officer.
Mm-hmm.
When they tell you to get out of the road, you can't block a roadway. So these are crimes. So the law enforcement agency themselves need to be prepared to take action. I'm not a fan of just taking it. You're not going to block a roadway here in Escambia County while I'm the sheriff. We'll do whatever we can to remove you. But again, peaceful protests are fine. You can be on a sidewalk. You can request food. You can request money, or you can protest your government or your law enforcement or ISO, whoever you want to protest. But you cross the line whenever you assault or you batter a law enforcement officer.
How would the presence of National Guard or of regular military like Marines, how would that complicate a situation like that for you from a law enforcement perspective?
I guess it'll depend on whether you need them or not. If you need them, might not complicate it at all.
You'd
be thankful for that. But usually there's some coordination where the law enforcement officers would make arrests. The National Guard doesn't typically make arrests. So you just need them for the backup so that people can't get around you, can't surround you. Because if you watch some of the video, there's a method for making arrests. You isolate people in the crowd, the agitators typically, or the ones that you see throwing or committing the crimes. And then you go forward and you arrest those individuals. Typically, it kind of quells it. And if not, then obviously you rely on the assistance of whoever's assisting. And here in the state of Florida, we have a pretty good relationship with other law enforcement agencies that can come and help us if we need to. We have Highway Patrol that can come and help if we need them. But we have a field force team. We have a SWAT team. We have the deputies that are on the street.
And the law changed a couple of years ago, right, to allow a more enhanced response to organized protests if they become violent, right?
Yeah, but we were always prepared to clear the streets if need be, and to protect ourselves if need be, and to protect property. Because what you're seeing over there in L.A. is looting and assault on law enforcement officers. It's chaos. And the only way to stop chaos is to stop chaos and to do it sometimes with force, sometimes just with a heavy hand if needed.
Right. Now, a very good – I was going to end on something that's kind of fun, but I feel like it's – well, now we have to, I suppose. I want to reveal a secret.
So he mentions it so he can say, you mentioned it.
I want to reveal a cop secret. Can we reveal a cop secret?
I don't know if it's a secret, but go ahead, Andrew.
Your buttons are fake.
Okay. So everyone's thinking, how in the world – yes, the uniform shirt that I wear and that our deputies wear – has a zipper so that you can
under the buttons, under what look like buttons,
bulletproof vest and such. Yeah,
yeah. So it's very easy to add or remove if you need to, or to deal with the problem. Right, easy to get in and out of the shirt if you have to.
If you're Clark Kent, yes.
Well, I mean, if you like you said, bulletproof vest. If you got to put one on,
and you can adjust the straps inside the vest, and sometimes you put we put paperwork in there. We do a number of different things, but yes, I didn't take the time this morning to button each button. No,
so it's a zipper button down shirt.
It's a uniform.
I feel like I discovered a whole new world of secrets about law enforcement today.
Well, I can't say that everyone wears the ones with the zippers on. It's been 10, 12 years or so that we've had these things.
My whole world has changed.
Yeah, you're going to get one. You want to get a shirt now with a zipper on it.
Yeah. I don't ever wear button-down shirts, but if I have to, I definitely want one that's a zipper up.
We're hiring Andrew.
I may not be able to pass a physical. Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, sir, a pleasure, and 40 years in law enforcement when it comes to this. Thank you so much, sir. I appreciate it.
You take care.
And the universal reaction, I wish I could show you, the universal reaction here in the studio was like, when he just
right.
You got this button-down shirt, and you just
it looked real.
You pull the little, I don't know what you call it, the piece of fabric that runs around the buttons vertically, the stripe, okay? He just kind of pulls that aside and takes a zipper, and I'm like, what? Secret agent man, you know? Like, and he puts paperwork in there, you know, whatever. Oh, my God. It was very entertaining to us. I wish I could show you the visual. 5:55 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you need to have any kind of work done on your air conditioning, your heating, your electrical, your plumbing, these are all your kind of complex systems inside your home that take a little bit more expertise, perhaps, than some things, and you want to make sure and get them right because they can be very expensive and dangerous if you get them wrong. Peden, they'll take care of all of that stuff. 55 years all along the Gulf Coast helping people fix those problems everywhere from Tallahassee to Fort Walton to, you know, Gulf Breeze, Pensacola, Milton, you know, all the way over to Alabama. In the last couple of years, they've expanded to Baldwin County, Foley, and then now to Mobile even. They can do that stuff. High-quality products, professional installation. They show up on time. They do what they're supposed to do, and they stand behind the work with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. That's Peden. And now, during the month of June, you can get $1,000 off. I mean, it's starting to get warm. Have you noticed? We take our walks at night. I've noticed. Anyway, $1,000 off a new air conditioning system, and some special financing is available. There are some restrictions that apply. But, yeah, cool down during June and get prepared for the really horrid season that's coming up. Very soon. It's almost July. Oh, I hate to say it. Anyway, $1,000 off a new AC system during the month of June. Peden, PEADEN.com.
Looking for personalized pharmacy care? Pensacola's longest-standing independent pharmacy, Jackson Pace Pharmacy, is family-owned and operated and has a dedicated team ready to help. The team at Jackson Pace Pharmacy works with your insurance plan, provides affordable cash prices, and expert guidance. Your health is their priority. Have questions? Call 850-478-4450 or stop by and meet the Jacksons and their team. At the intersection of Pine Forest and 9 Mile Road, Jackson Pace Pharmacy, where care meets convenience.
Lexus, BMW, Jaguar.
Where is the best place to take your vehicle for service and repair? That, my friend, is Matrix Auto Service, the future of auto service.
Porsche, Mercedes, Land Rover.
Their expert technicians provide top-notch service and repairs to all makes and models. At Matrix Auto Service, they pride themselves on transparency, honesty, and customer satisfaction with their number one goal, getting you back on the road quickly and safely. Matrix Auto Service, 5675 North Davis Highway.
Hurricane season is here. It's time to make sure your Generac generator is in tip-top shape.
Call White Sands Electric today to schedule maintenance of your generator. With 5 certified Generac technicians on staff, they will make sure your generator is ready when you need it.
Need a new unit or a replacement?
Remember, White Sands never charges a deposit, so you never spend a dime until your generator is on your property. White Sands Electric is a full-service electrical contractor. Call 850-433-6080 for all your electrical needs.
Have you given your auto loan a second thought lately? Just like you might refinance a home for a better deal, you can do the same with your auto loan. Refinance an existing loan from another institution with Pinnair Credit Union and lower your interest rate by up to 2%. Plus, you can skip payments for the first 90 days. Take your old auto loan off of autopilot with Pinnair to lower your interest and payments. Learn more at Pinnair.org/auto-refi. That's Pinnair.org/auto-refi. All loans are subject to approval. Offer valid on loan application submitted between April 1st and June 30th, 2025 only. Call toll-free 1-877-4-PIN-AIR for complete details.
Get the Midday News live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 5:59 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. I think we've got time for one story from David Wayne in the newsroom. David?
Sure, I got one for you. Elon Musk is backtracking after his social media feud with Donald Trump. Musk now says some of his posts went too far, including the one where he linked Trump to the Epstein files, a claim he later deleted. Of course, all that started over the big, beautiful bill and quickly escalated.
So Elon Musk isn't a journalist then, is that what you're telling us?
Well, apparently not.
Shocking.
Local talk.